Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're on the air live right now to talk about the basic gospel, how it intersects with your life daily, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number 1-800-677-9377. Lines are open right now, so if you have a Bible question or if there's something you need to talk about, call right now. We want to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go directly to our phone lines and talk with Brad, listening to us in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, Bob, Richard, and Bob. I love the first of every month because I'm always eager to hear what the subject of the month is going to be. And this is a good subject. And I did listen to the first half an hour for the New York Louisville guys in Washington, D.C., and I was telling Michelle back at Be a Voice conference in 2011, Bob, you and I had a discussion, and you know how I kind of center everything around, you know, the new creation that we are and living in the new creation and God living his life in and through us. And we discussed the fact that the part of 1 Corinthians is completely fulfilled by God himself as he lives his life in and through us. And I just encourage the listeners, to just ask God to allow them to see the Word of God as he views it, allow them to see themselves as God views themselves, and see exactly why love works in and through us, not only as members of the body of Christ, but the body of Christ as a whole. And I've read your book a couple of times. I got it in PDF file format when Frank Viola was giving all these books away when he sold his God's favorite place on earth. So, no, this month's subject is wonderful, and God is eagerly awaiting his believers, his children, to let him be God and live his life in and through each one of us.
That's exactly right.
And the product
right.
of him doing that will be his love.
That's exactly right. God is love. He's the source of love in and through us. But one of the great things when you read 1 Corinthians 13, so often we read it trying to figure out what we're supposed to do as believers in Christ. And we need
right.
to first and foremost step back and ask the question, is this how God loves me? Is God mm-hmm. patient with me? Is God kind with me? Does he rejoice in truth with me? Does he protect me? Does he believe in me, hope in me, persevere with me? All of those things that definition speaks to. And when we come to that point and realize that that's exactly how God loves us, then we can receive that. Then we can kind of look back on our lives and see how God has lived out each and every one of those attributes of love in us. And then we're open to saying, hey, you know, I'm available for you to love others through me in that same way, to use me to be patience, to share your patience with somebody, your kindness, your goodness, those sort of things. So when you go to 1 Corinthians 13, you know, go there with the idea of this is how God loves me.
Mm-hmm. And I do so appreciate your messages from Metro and the resources on Basic Gospel. You and Richard so aptly point out to me as a believer that, you know, so many Christians believe we're on top of the list, but no, we're not. It's, you know, the beautiful thing, it's God, it's what God wants and what God desires, and we're just benefactors.
That's right.
So we need to understand it's God who is willing and doing his good pleasure in us. And I so appreciate Basic Gospel and the whole entire ministry staff. You guys exude the love of God to yourselves, to me, for all the years I've had association with you.
Well, Brad, and we sure appreciate the kind words and appreciate the call
today. you can talk about love because you guys so aptly do it and allow God to do it through you. And there's not a fake bone in anybody at Basic Gospel's ministry. You guys can walk the talk and you preach the Word of God so consistently, and you have for years and years from Bob George and on forward. And I so appreciate this ministry because of that.
Well, thanks, Brad.
Guys, have a great day.
Hey, you do as well. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hello. My question is, what's your definition of a vow, and what's the consequences when you break a vow, and should Christians be making vows?
Well, I don't think Christians should be making vows. I think the word is pretty clear in the New Testament. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say yes, then fulfill what you said yes to. If you say no, then, you know, move on. So you don't have to make a vow. I think that's just a promise, a commitment that you are making, and you're not sure if you can live up to it or not. And when you break a vow, you damage a relationship. You know, damage trust, damage all sorts of things. You know, folks kind of look at you and say, you go back on your word, you don't keep your word. So that's why I think it's important for us as believers just to say yes and do it. You know, as so many people say, under promise but over deliver.
Well, I know I talk to God and I say, well, I vow I'll never do that again. And I don't know, I find myself doing it.
Well, Mary, that's kind of a legalistic approach to God. You know, I promise I will never do that again. You know, you don't know. We live in a world where there's temptations and situations can arise where you just do that again. And then you're back, pleading with God, I'm sorry, I'll never do this again. He knows you. He knows what your flesh is like. He knows all of those things. You don't have to make those promises to God. Just thank him for who he is in your life and ask him to teach you how to walk by faith in him each and every day. Well, Mary, good question today. We sure appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Frank listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, my question is regarding God love. In the Old Testament, we see that God rejected Esau and he loved Jacob. Was God love conditional in the Old Testament? Obviously, we know that it's not conditional in the New Testament, you know, according to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good question, Frank. And we read that, you know, God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. And that kind of language just messes us up, doesn't it? It's really confusing. I didn't think God hated anybody. And then you read that and it's pretty black and white. God hated Esau. But I think when you look at it in the context and you look at God's dealing with Esau throughout his life, you see a completely different picture. So it brings you right back to that phrase, well, then what does this mean? And I think what it means is simply this, that God predetermined that Jacob would be the person through whom the bloodline would flow. So there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12, and eventually that's going to lead to Jesus Christ. He is the seed through whom the world was going to be blessed. He's the Savior of the world. He saves us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And God just made a choice, and it had no connection at all to the goodness of either Esau or Jacob. He simply made a choice that Jacob was going to be the guy, and that as a result of that, Esau, the older, would serve the younger. That's all that phrase means. So it was a choice that God made, predetermined, predestined, that Jacob would be the guy through whom the bloodline would flow.
Amen. How about God's love? Was it a condition in the Old Testament, or wasn't it?
God's love is never conditioned. There were covenants that were conditioned. The Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, there was this if-then proposition. If you will obey me and keep all of my statutes, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Well, they didn't keep the if part of it. The ifs in life went awry. They didn't live up to their end of the bargain. So the covenant was made null and void, basically, because of their lack of faithfulness to it. So there were conditions in some of those covenants, but never conditions or God's love, because God was ever faithful to them.
Yes.
God's love for them endured forever, and you see that time and time again throughout the Old Testament. So we see clearly that there's no conditions attached to his love.
Amen. Okay, that's a very clear answer. Another question, Bob. How about Solomon? Was Solomon was he saved? You know, was at the end of his journey? Did he repent it or not? Solomon, David's son.
Well, it looks like from Ecclesiastes that wisdom really kind of took root in his heart and his life. I mean, when he says everything is vanity other than a man's relationship with the Lord, you know, I think he came to that truth. He certainly tried everything under the sun. There was nothing that the world offered that was not withheld from him. He took it all in, and he learned that nothing could compare to a relationship with God. So
amen.
I think we see that. Okay, Frank?
Right. All right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, and God bless. Bye.
Hey, you too, Frank. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this book, Love Is, just as a thank you gift to you. Okay, my friend?
Okay. Amen.
You
thank
hold
you.
The line.
And we're talking about God's love on today's edition and throughout the month. And if you'd like to get a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, one's available to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And for today only, just call our toll-free order line at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, of course. Again, 1-800-727-2828 for a gift of any amount. We'll get a copy on the way to you. Love Is by Bob Christopher. Hope you'll take advantage of that. Right now, open lines 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Chris, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, my brothers in Christ. Good to hear your voice.
Well,
thank you for your ministry.
Well, thank you for those kind words. We sure appreciate that.
Just wanted to call and give you another voice of encouragement in your ministry. And tag along with our brother Brad, just to let you know that, you know, God's word says in the book of Titus that before the beginning of time, God promised eternal life. And in order for our faithful God and creator to promise eternal life, he had to take away what caused eternal death, and that's sin. And we can rejoice and give thanks for our Savior's great sacrifice for all. And I just wanted to let you know that there's brothers and sisters throughout the world that are proclaiming the message of the gospel and hope of Jesus Christ. So remain faithful, and we'll continue to support the message of grace and truth.
Well,
so love you, brothers, and Godspeed.
Well, thank you, Chris. That's just a powerful statement, and thanks so much for calling in on today's program. We appreciate it. And, you know, that's our hope and prayer that many others will be raised up, voices will go forth proclaiming the simple, powerful, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And I think if we will focus on that, we will see incredible things happen within the body of Christ. And when things happen in the body of Christ, things happen in the world in a positive way. So Chris, you keep proclaiming as well, and let's journey together, okay?
Amen.
Thanks,
God bless
Chris.
You guys.
And God bless you as well. So.
Yeah. And, guys, just today, this email came in from Lee in Katy, Texas, and he says, "Hi, y'all. Y'all are great. Bob, you're inspiring, and Richard, you're a wild man. You cause me a lot of laughter." He goes on to pose this question. Aside from psychomatic and hypnotic causes of charismania, Lee's words, not ours, is it equally plausible that tongues, miracle healers, and so forth are demonic?
Well, there's certainly some that are demonic. And you know, when you kind of lift up the hood and look underneath and see what's going on behind closed doors, you realize it's all a sham. I mean, there was one healer that was on television probably back in the 60s and 70s, and we met somebody that was once a bodyguard for him and worked as security. And, boy, he laid out the whole picture of how they would find the people. You know, "I think there's somebody here with a back ailment or with this." And they had already searched that out and had those people already identified, and they would bring them up and they would tell them, "This is exactly what you're supposed to do." And so it was all a sham. Well, yeah. If it's a sham, it's not based on truth. And if it's not based on truth, it's got to be a lie. Mm-hmm. And there is a guy who's called the father of lies.
That's right.
The Bible pinpoints who that is.
Yes,
his
does.
Name is Satan himself. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the name of religion that is not truth. It's not godly. It's not God ordained at all. There are many that are going to stand before God and say, "Look at those folks that I healed. Look at those miracles that I did. Look at all of the things that I brought to the table." And God's going to look at them and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Why? Because it's all about them. It's not about Jesus.
Right.
So there's a genuineness about the love of God, about the work of God that penetrates a heart, and you know that it is of the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's other things that you can just tell that's not of God at all.
Absolutely. Lee, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And thanks for writing.
Let's go to Worcester, Mass. And talk with James. Hi, James.
Well, good afternoon, sir.
And to you as well. How can we help you?
Hello. I was recently at the library checking out a book by a noted, well, his book, cover, what do they call it, that flap cover they put on library books, indicates that he was generally, he was known as a Hebrew Bible scholar. And, well, okay, nowadays, I'm hearing things about the Anunnaki and the Nephilim and things like that, and the Seraphim, things like that. And what I wanted to know was, this individual seems to indicate the same kind of things that these Anunnaki and Nephilim people are talking about, where, well, in my Bible indicates that the earth was without form and void. Now, this individual, God, you know, if I had the book and I had his author, you know, his name, it'd be a little bit better. But he seemed to indicate the same kind of thing where they only want to go into where maybe God or this God they're talking about kind of broke into the world, well, say 4,000 or 6,000 BC, where we were still generally primitive, and I guess he seemed to just want to turn it into, we went from hunter gatherer to agriculturalists, and I mean, I don't know, it's causing me confusion, because this person is supposed to be he's supposed to be well known for his Hebrew scholarship, his Hebrew Bible scholarship, and well, you know, I'm hearing a lot about both of those things kind of matching together, and if this guy is supposed to be, you know, respected for his scholarship in the Hebrew Bible, it's just a question where my,
well, James,
you know,
there were a lot of people that were recognized for their scholarship, for their understanding of the Old Testament, and yet when Jesus stood right before them, they rejected. They had missed the whole story. They had missed the whole key to understanding what their scriptures were all about. Jesus even said, "Moses, he's your accuser. Why? Because he wrote about me, and yet you are rejecting me." When he walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he took those Old Testament scriptures and revealed to them that they were all about Christ himself from start to finish. So there's a bunch of, quote, Hebrew scholars. There's a bunch of Old Testament scholars who reject Jesus. And in rejecting Jesus, they have misunderstood the scriptures themselves. So I think the same can be true of the Genesis story. You know, there's lots of controversy about Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, the fact that the world was null and void. So what does that mean? Well, there's all kinds of speculation as to what that means. But that's all it is sheer speculation. God created this world. He created it the way the Genesis account records it. Why can't we trust that? Why can't we just rest in that? I guarantee you, those scientists, the more they delve into this issue, the more they ask questions about origins, how this world came into being, what's behind this world, what's behind this creative order, the more and more they're going to push themselves toward this realization that there has to be God, that there has to be a God. And I think time will just bear that out, and this Bible will become more and more relevant within the scientific community. Not so much all of the detail of science, but the overarching story of science will soon be couched in what the Word of God has to say. So whenever you find confusion, God's not the author of confusion. Just go back to the simple truth. In the beginning, God created, God blesses us in Jesus. That's the story of the Bible. That's what's going to change our lives forever, both now and forevermore.
Okay, I understand. You know, I guess. I was concerned a little bit because these pictures, you know, these people like to show up pictures of 4,006-year-old carvings and things they call cuneiform. Like, whoa, they've got a whole story backed up on these things, and they seem to be trying to put it together, and with a Hebrew scholar saying that, and these Anakim and Anunnaki people saying this. They're trying to put. It seems that they're trying to put the same thing together, where it wasn't vast and it wasn't vacant and void. It was he was just breaking into Cro-Magnon man and making them agriculturalists instead of.
So we're trying to. So what's happening there, James, is folks are trying to fit the Bible into this story of the world, the story of man that spans, you know, billions and billions of years. And so this story, this Bible, is a nice interruption into it that covers a period of time. But who rules? Does God rule or does science rule? God rules. God is the creator, and science will fall under that story at some point in time. Well, James, we're out of time on this broadcast. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everybody for joining us for today's edition of Basic Gospel. You know, as we've said before, we are a totally listener-supported ministry on the air daily Monday through Friday with the truth of God's love and grace. You know, God is love, and He loves you right now. But what does God's love look like, and how does God express His love to us? How does God's love impact our lives every day? Well, we all want answers, and the story of God's love is a powerful, life-changing story about your life that you'll discover in the book Love Is by Bob Christopher. For a couple of weeks, you can obtain a copy of Love Is for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. More than anything else, God wants you to know that He loves you and that He loves you right now. God's love. Rely on it. Abide in it, and you'll learn that God's love never fails. For your copy, for today only, go to 1-800-727-2828. Call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. We'll get one on the way to you, and we'd hope that you would do that. For a gift of any amount, a copy of Love is yours. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're all into social media as well. We use it. We hope you do, too. And if you do, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. That's at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.